Prescott. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. April 10th, 1895. Dear Brother Prescott, I send this manuscript to you. I can send but one copy to Battle Creek. Please let Dr. Kellogg share the perusal of this matter, also Elder Olson. Will you please read it carefully and prayerfully? I also send copies of letters in regard to education, written as long ago as when Elders Stone and Bell were teaching in the college. I do not write their names. I am sorry the first page is gone. I placed the manuscript in the hands of my copyist, and she has just completed the matter. I could not even devote time to read it before it was copied, but I send it to you that you may know its contents. I supposed I had copied it long ago, and it has not been done because of pressure of other work. I am desirous of placing before those who are connected with the responsibilities of the work the light that the Lord has been pleased to give me for their benefit. Willie writes me in regard to the case of Brother Pomare that Sister Caro is meeting with financial difficulties and proposes his mother, Ellen G. White, share some portion of the expense. I am willing to do this, as far as the past is concerned, but cannot go any farther to protract his studies. He should go to his field of labor and not be delayed. Have those who have advised this young man considered how his expense is to be met? I have paid $300 since our last camp meeting in Oakland for students in Melbourne College. Several others I have carried through the school, bearing their expense at a cost of no less than $500. I have felt it duty to assist Brother Lacey in his expenses at Battle Creek. I know not how much. I also paid the expenses of Sister Holder to Battle Creek to enter the sanitarium to learn to become a medical missionary. Elder Olson and Dr. Kellogg thought that others would meet these expenses, but others were not forthcoming. To delay seemed critical. She carried the load of her father's family and could not sleep. Her relatives were using every device to break up her going. Her father is a confirmed drunkard, and she did not live at home, but by herself. The situation of her brothers was a great burden to her. We feared for her mind, and we could not wait the long process of communication, so had her take the boat at once. I do not know the full sum I paid for this sister, but I have expended no less than $1,000 in all since the school was started. I have paid the tuition of a brother Maori and his traveling expenses to and from the school, which are not included in the sum I have given. I also paid expenses of Sister Miller to Oakland, for it was deemed wisdom for him to go and perfect his knowledge of office work so that he could come back and take hold of the work, fitted to perform much better work. I am appropriating means to pay the expenses of three workers in the field in the suburbs of Sydney, Ashfield, and Petersham, and the surrounding regions. Now, a precious work has been done in Ashfield. It was very slow at first, but 66 precious souls have been baptized. There are souls who have embraced the truth since the last baptism. Some excellent people are making their decisions. Some have just taken their stand. I spoke last Sunday night at Petersham. The power of the Holy Spirit rested upon me, and the people listened with the deepest interest. We drive 12 miles from Granville, then I generally return after evening meetings, but this endangers my taking cold and makes me too weary. There is the most tremendous opposition. Picton, who challenged Corliss for discussion, also jumped up in a chair in the hall after Brother Hare had reviewed Mr. Porter, a minister from Ballarat, and challenged Brother Hare for a discussion. But he would not be drawn away from the work, and told them, as did Nehemiah, "We are engaged in a great work, presenting Bible truth to the people, and we cannot come down." See Nehemiah 6, verse 3. Picton has since been bellowing like a wild beast at the corner of the street near the tent in Petersham, but only the lower class will be seen in the mob. 1 week ago, last Sunday, I spoke in Oddfellows Hall. I never addressed more interested, noble-looking men and women. The hall was full. But to the subject. There are no less than 5 ministers gathered against us in our presentation of the truth. The battle waxes hot. Mr. Porter has been reviewed in every discourse by Brother Hare, and God has helped. There are 2 meetings on Sabbath held within 2 miles of each other, one in the tent for preaching the word of God in Petersham, and at the same hour someone is speaking to the congregation in Oddfellows Hall. The interest has not abated. While I was speaking in Petersham, Brother McCullough was speaking in Ashfield to about 150 people. Brother Hare was on the enemy's ground listening to Mr. Porter's opposition discourse, while his niece, Maggie Hare, was taking notes in shorthand. Brother Hare reviews him in the town hall next Thursday evening. We believe that the Lord will make this the means of great good. They can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. I tarried at Brother McCullough's that night. I felt sad to learn that a written statement has been sent to Brother McCullough that they must quit the Oddfellows Hall in 2 weeks. The enemy seems stirred with an intense power from beneath to possess his subjects with the enmity of the dragon spirit, to make war with those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. We are now perplexed. We had just pledged $175 to purchase a new tent to commence meetings in Canterbury, 2 miles from Petersham and 2 miles from Ashfield. But the tent is not made yet, and if this means could make a start for a humble meeting house for the people to assemble and worship on the Sabbath, the enemy would be defeated. Brother Caldwell has just gone to see about the matter. I would pledge $100 or $200, and all would strain every nerve to accomplish this. It is well known there is not another hall that could be obtained without a large sum being expended, and they cannot be hired for Sunday nights. Oh, that the Lord, who says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills," would now prepare the way for his people to worship him. Haggai 2, verse 8, Psalm 50, verse 10. He will work. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it. We will wait and watch and pray. I want now to be in Ashfield and in Petersham and regions round about here, but a convention is to be held in Tasmania, and I am earnestly solicited to attend, for it is to be a very important meeting. We have long halted between 2 opinions, but now I must bring this matter to decision. We are now to take the cars on the morrow for Melbourne, en route for Hobart. We shall stop over Sabbath in Melbourne, and then the first of the week go on to Hobart. I am now much pressed in spirit in regard to a place where we can meet to worship God. There is quite a large company attending the meetings every evening, but what shall we do? We must wait and watch and pray and trust the living God. In regard to doing anything in the line of helping students in America, I have come to understand that what I do must be done in the light of the needs here in this country. I send you the letters giving you the light that God has given me. In much love to yourself and family. By mistake, this was left out of letter to Brother Prescott.